We all encounter suffering in life. We all will meet troubles. It's unavoidable. We don't live in a bubble. We live in a world that can be scary. And Jesus referred to this even to his disciples. He said, in the world you will have fear, you will have troubles. But we, as followers of Jesus, we can be assured that Jesus has overcome the world. There's nothing that can faze him. Not only that, he cares for us. I want to look into this story. It's a fascinating story in 2 Chronicles 18, 1 through 17 that was read. And when we follow this story, we find gold nuggets of wisdom for us to learn from those that have gone before us. It is very important that we as believers learn from history, that we learn from God's people in the past, that we learn the good, that we also heed the warnings of where they messed up. And one thing that I have found, and I look at this story, is that just because we're doing some things right doesn't mean that we could not fall into a trap or into a temptation. And we heard on yesterday morning about this word where Jesus warns his disciples, watch and pray that you would not fall into temptation. Some situations in life are often created by our own fears and paranoia. There's a story of a man in the South that was so paranoid at a football game. In the South, it's very common for people to attend football games. Football is life to them. So he was at the football game, and here the players were huddling in the middle. They were huddling, and he thought they were talking about him. He was so paranoid that he couldn't watch the game anymore. He thought they were really gossiping about him. So some of the stories, some of the fears that people have are definitely false thoughts. King Jehoshaphat found himself in a very bad predicament. He was king in Jerusalem, and as we read the story in Chronicles, we know that there was the southern kingdom, which was Judah and Jerusalem, and then there was the northern kingdom, which was called the kingdom of Israel. They had, at this time, two kings, one in the south and one in the north. Ahab with his wife Jezebel were kings and queen of the north kingdom, and Jehoshaphat was of the southern kingdom, Judah. The lessons that we want to learn is, first of all, Jehoshaphat was a God-fearing king. 2 Chronicles 17, verse 10 says, and the fear of the Lord fell upon all the kingdoms of the lands that were round about Judah, so that they made no war against Jehoshaphat. So for 25 years, Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, he enjoyed peace. And enjoying a period of peace of 25 years was really special, because Israel was in a lot of turmoil many, many times. Here's the first lesson we want to learn from Jehoshaphat to avoid spiritual dangers. Relationships may bless us, or they may curse us. In 2 Chronicles 18, we have heard that Joseph had had riches and honor in abundance. It was all peaceful. But there was one problem. He had, through marriage of his son, he had joined in affinity, it says here, with Ahab, the king of the northern kingdom of Israel. And after certain years, he went down to Ahab to Samaria. And Ahab killed sheep and oxen for him in abundance and for the people that he had with him and persuaded him. He made a big feast. He made a barbecue. And Ahab persuaded Jehoshaphat, who was a peaceful king, who had all the peace, he had honor and riches, everything. God blessed him richly because he was God-fearing. But Ahab, the godless king, convinced Jehoshaphat to come with him into battle. And this was a big no-no. Ahab said to Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, "Will you go with me to Ramoth-Gilead?" And he answered him, and this is scary. This is the relationship he had with godless King Ahab. "I am as you are, and my people as your people, and we will be with you in this battle. We'll join you in this battle." We would call it, well, it was naivete that Jehoshaphat had, but he had compromise here in his relationships. Now, I don't think Jehoshaphat wanted to have war with Ahab. I don't think he had any intentions of, maybe to the contrary, he wanted kind of peace in Israel because these were their brothers, so to speak. But Ahab was godless. He was wicked. And Jezebel even worse. So the king of Judah, Jehoshaphat, was in a dangerous relationship. In-law problems. Trying to please the in-laws. This was basically what Jehoshaphat done. He wanted peace. But you know, peace at all cost is not always appropriate. God had blessed Jehoshaphat with riches and with peace. And now Ahab came here with hidden motives. He had wicked intentions. And he showered Jehoshaphat with gifts. And these gifts and this goodness that Ahab showed Jehoshaphat blinded Jehoshaphat to the point that he said, "I'm with you and my people are with you." He didn't realize that their spiritual differences, their relationship to God was totally separate. But yet he compromised and says, "I'm with you. I'm as you are. My heart is with you." That's a dangerous saying. But Ahab had achieved his goal. He made Jehoshaphat see things his way. And how many times have professors, have teachers, have politicians, have others convinced believers to see things their way instead of the Bible way? It's dangerous to listen to false philosophies today. The second thing that we see here, not only was this godly king Jehoshaphat deceived and duped by the ungodly, he experienced that truth may hurt before it actually helps. This is interesting what goes on here now. We know this story. They assembled all these prophets. Ahab had everything politically aligned. He had a political atmosphere, if you will. A political condition that all the prophets that he called, they said the same thing. And if you have 400 prophets come and they all tell you the same thing, then you will believe it, right? I mean, that's very convincing. And he impressed Jehoshaphat. He says, look, they all prophesy, go ahead and do this. You will be victorious. You will have the victory over the enemy. Jehoshaphat, right at this point, he was restless. He felt something is not right. He thought, oh, these prophets, you know, And this is what he said in verse 4. Jehoshaphat said to the king Ahab, inquire, I pray thee, at the word of the Lord today. It's true that all these prophets say the same thing. They were probably dictated. They were probably expected. The political correctness was so strong that all the prophets agreed because they were all on Ahab's payroll. Ahab paid them to prophesy so it would please him. He said, these prophets, they encourage me. They have positive things to say about me. They are really good prophets. I mean, they are so positive. They are so excited about victory. They are so for me. I really am encouraged by these prophets. But Jehoshaphat said, hold it. Is there a true prophet? Is there a true man of God? The God of the living God, the God of Israel. See, Ahab had exploited religion. He misused religion to his purpose. And he despised God's holy word. There was a lot of apostasy, meaning falling away from the truth, going on in Israel. Joseph knew about it, and he shouldn't have been in this relationship in the first place, but now he got deeper and deeper into this, and he was already scared and said, no, let's hear of the word of the Lord. Let's hear from a prophet that is unbiased, that is not bought, that is not paid for, that is not bribed. I'm afraid sometimes that certain preachers, us preachers, that we are so afraid of people that we just want to encourage them and just say, you're okay, I'm okay, everybody is okay. That we whitewash unrighteousness, bad attitudes. Excuse, if so-and-so does it, you know, well, those are close people. They are long-time members, and you can't touch them. You can't say that. And it's interesting when you listen carefully to today's preachers. And I want to say it both ways because I have to. Just because a church is small doesn't make it right and righteous. Just because a church is big and a mega church doesn't make it righteous. It depends on whether the Spirit of God is truly there, whether God's word is truly preached uncompromisingly. Jehoshaphat wanted to hear from God himself without any political climate, without any bias, no political correctness. So he demanded a prophet of the Lord. And so in verse 7 it says, "And the king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, 'Yes, there is a man. There is a man that cannot be bought that has the word of the Lord.'" And thank God there was one prophet that could stand up and speak the truth. Ahab says, "There is a man by whom we may inquire of the Lord, but I hate him." Why did Ahab hate Micah? Why? And here he says, why? "For he never prophesied good unto me, but always evil. The same is Micah, the son of Imlah, and Jehovah said, 'Let not the king say so.'" Ahab says, "I hate this prophet of God. He's just a thorn in the flesh. He's just a beam in my eye or whatever. He just bugs me. He rubs me the wrong way. He always says these things that I don't like. He always brings those sermons that I hate. He always uses words from the Lord that I just can't stand because he always prophesies negative things about it. He's too negative." You know, truth may sound negative. And that's why people reject it so often, because truth hurts before it can heal and help. Truth is like a knife of a surgeon, the scalpel. It has to cut. Well, now we can do it without pain, but sometimes truth hurts before it heals. So now they call Micah the prophet. And this is very interesting. So the servants go and they fetch Micah and says, come here. The kings want to hear your word. And then on the way they say, you know what? You have to remember there's this consensus of all the prophets is that the king, King Ahab, wants to go to war, and the consensus is they all say that the Lord has said that he will be victorious. Say likewise. Speak encouragement. Let me read these words. This is just too interesting to miss. King of Israel says, "There is still one man," and then he calls him, "Bring Micah, the son of Imlah, quickly." And the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, clothed in robes, sat each on his throne, and so on. And then Zedekiah, the son of Chenana, had made horns of iron himself. These were the prophets that were so 100% sure. It says, "Thus says the Lord." You know what these prophets did? They did what so many so-called preachers and healers do today. "I had a dream last night, and the Lord spoke to me." And sometimes they speak things that are not in agreement with the Bible. And loved ones, I want to warn you, if you hear a prophet that speaks that is not in agreement with the Bible, that is not of God. God didn't tell him to say that. And that's what we learn here. So they go now, and here is what he was told, Micah was told. Micah is on his way. The messenger had come. He said, "Now listen. The words of the prophets are with one accord to encourage the king." That's what the consensus is. Now, you know, who are you? You're one man, there's so many. You know, disagree with them and go along with them. Go with the flow. This is what he was told. "Therefore, please let your word be like the word of those and speak encouragement only." And what did Micah say? You can't buy me. I will speak what the Lord tells me. That's my commitment. That's my promise to you. Then he came to the king, and the king said to Micah, shall we go to war against Ramoth Gilead, and shall I refrain? And Micah just goes along with it. He kind of plays it up. Well, this is what you want to hear, right? I'll give you what you want to hear. Go and be successful. But the king said to him, how many times shall I make you swear that you tell me nothing but the truth in the name of the Lord? He knew that wasn't Micah. King Ahab and Jehoshaphat knew that Micah was different. Micah, all he said was, I saw all Israel scattered on the mountain as sheep that have no shepherd. And the Lord said, these have no master. Let each return to his house in peace. And the king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, didn't I tell you he would not prophesy good concerning me, but evil? See, he didn't disappoint. He had no encouraging words for us. And you know what happened to Micah? They put him in jail. Because the consensus was, this is what the Lord has said, this is what the majority believes, but this prophet, Prophet Micah, we don't like his message. So we're going to reject him. Well, that didn't go very well, did it? Absolutely not. The political correctness, the consensus was, go and be successful. Micah saw the vision of God. He saw deeper and farther than these kings. Jehoshaphat's problem was that he was so deep into this relationship with Ahab, he couldn't get out. And it almost cost him his life. Ahab asked Micah to tell him the honest truth, but did the truth help him? No. The truth will help very few people even today unless they embrace it and say, even if it hurts, I will accept it. I will humble myself under the mighty hand of God. Jesus said in Luke chapter 13, and this is concerning Jerusalem in his time, and Jerusalem had basically built up this measure of, accumulation to bring the judgment of God on itself. And Jesus said these words, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the one who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to her. How often I wanted to gather your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, but you were not willing. See, your house is left you to you desolate. And assuredly I say to you, you shall not see me until the times come when you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. They had rejected Jesus. And not long after Jesus, I think about 40 years later, Jerusalem was running with blood. That in some places it was ankle deep blood just running in the streets. The third thing that we can learn here is deception may come when we least expect it. Ahab appealed to Jehoshaphat's sense of kingly pride. He honored him. He prepared a feast. And it felt so good. Ahab must have been a very charming person, although he was very wicked before the Lord. But when you read this story, of what happened later. You can read that in the bulletin. I put an article there that I found about Jehoshaphat and what happened because of this relationship between Jehoshaphat and Ahab. That Jehoshaphat's granddaughter, Athaliah, became a brutal, godless woman that killed all her grandchildren. This was the seed of this wicked king and his wife Jezebel. We also see that Ahab, when they went to war, Ahab was killed. Israel was scattered, as Micah had said. God's word will always be true. It doesn't matter whether we reject it or accept it, whether we neglect it or distort it, God's word will always be true. And one thing we can count on, that his truth, although it may hurt temporarily, his truth in the end is very healing. And that's our comfort and strength. And if Jehoshaphat would have talked about this and would have really prayed to the Lord and been seeking the Lord on his face, I believe that God would have prevented him from a whole lot of trouble. In 2 Chronicles chapter 18, verse 31, we read, "And it came to pass when the captains of the chariots saw Jehoshaphat, that they said, 'It is the king of Israel.' Therefore they compassed about him to fight. But Jehoshaphat cried out, and the Lord helped him. And God moved them to depart from him." Jehoshaphat cried to the Lord here. He had gotten himself in this trouble, in this mess. God still rescued him because he loved him. And this comforts us. If we get in trouble, if we have been vulnerable, we have given in to Satan or to deception in any way, shape, or form, if you have fallen into temptation, if you have given in to a false influence, a wrong relationship, God wants to help you. Life can be scary. And that is the times when we trust the Father and not our feelings, when we trust his word. And I think it is important that we examine our relationships, that we are pursuing relationships that edify us, that help us to be strong and remain strong in the Lord, and also that we live with the conscious conviction that truth cannot be negotiated. If we reject it or neglect it, we will suffer the consequences. And my prayer is that we would always seek godly advice, because we live in a world of deception and betrayal. And it is very, very important that we keep seeking the Lord and the leading of his Holy Spirit in all that we encounter. God bless you. Amen. Let's stand for prayer.